Pelosi really say that town hall protesters are un-American? Give us your tired, hungry, poor, and illegal, at least the ones that can slip through, until 2010. Immigration, the fix, is on hold, according to President Obama. They say patience is a virtue, but give me a break. I would be going ballistic. How about those 47 people that were locked down in the jet for 9 hours in Minnesota? Can you imagine? Without the use of bathroom facilities? Absolutely. I'm a polite person, but I think I'd be enraged. Not even a peanut among them to split in the nine-hour period. And what if there were children on board that flight? I don't really know. I don't think there was. But that would be even more disastrous. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Of course, just some of the things that we're going to talk about on this show. Started off with Nancy Pelosi. I told you in our last show that Nancy Pelosi was planning to co-author an op-ed piece in the USA Today. Now, the USA Today is like, I call it the pop feeder paper because it's pretty, it has lots of colors, and everybody reads it when they travel. And if you just want to get little snippets of news, it's just perfect, right? So in this era of a newspaper really shrinking or flat out going away, it still exists. And there are a lot of op-ed pieces that are read because there's so many flyers, and you can pick up the USA Today in your neighborhood still. It hasn't disappeared. So the White House immediately disputed the Pelosi contention that, yeah, you're un-American if you're part of this town hall protesting. They disagreed this afternoon with the Speaker of the House and Steny Hoyer, who, of course, is the House Majority Leader, that these disruptions at the town hall meetings are not un-American. In fact, Bill Burton, one of the White House flacks, or the official title, Deputy Press Secretary, was trotted out and told reporters on Air Force One, because, of course, they were asked about the comments that Pelosi and Hoyer made. This is a quote: "I think there's actually a pretty long tradition of people shouting at politicians in America." And went a little bit further to say the president thinks that if people want to come and have what he calls a spirited debate about health care, a real vigorous conversation about it, that's part of the American tradition. He encourages that because people do have questions and concerns. Thank you very much. We've been saying that all along. Stop blaming talk show hosts. Stop blaming the so-called plants. I really don't believe it has anything to do with that. And we live in America. We have freedom of speech, baby. It's the best thing. It rocks. That's why we love living here, right? In the cradle of liberty. Doesn't matter if you're east, west, in between. We all have the same rights. So earlier today on MSNBC, and I thought this was pretty good, I was watching it on Morning Joe, former Congressman Henry Ford had this to say about, look, this is what's happened with health care and what the Democrats need to do and really what's the missing part of this equation.
Health care, as much as I respect and appreciate John's insights on this, I have to disagree. I think the Congress, having served there, you served there, they play a bigger role. The president had a big problem. The real shortcoming in his press conference the other night on health care was that he had a specific problem in laying out specifically what he was for. He couldn't in a sustained way say what he expected from Congress and how to pay for it. There are questions, as you well know, about how the Congress wants to pay for it, how the Senate chooses to pay for it, what the cost containment provisions are, where John Harwood is exactly correct, is that the president wants a public health option. But even that has found its way into an area that I'm not clear what the president exactly, how he exactly defines one. What's going to have to happen? I happen to agree with you, Joe, on the town hall meetings. People have the right to come out, even if those efforts are organized by K Street or organized by corporate types. Right. So what? When you go to a town hall meeting, you put yourself before the public, and people have every right to ask whatever question, as irritating as it may be. I think what my party has to do is to probably step back a moment here, get back to the drawing board, and define clearly how you plan to contain costs, how you plan to address those who don't have health insurance, and how you expect to address those who have illnesses and are kicked off their insurance when they go see their doctor. Pat, those questions haven't been answered.
Exactly. This is what we've been saying all along. Clearly define this, because it is not clearly defined. I've gone over this many times. As I specifically said in our last show over the week, and I was looking at the bill again, and if you look at the House bill, there's nothing about cutting costs, and supposedly that's what we're being sold. Hey, this is going to cut costs. If you have great insurance, you love it. Bottom line is, it's not always going to stay the same, and it's going to continue to rise, and you're going to grumble, and it's going to be a pain, and it's going to hurt the United States. So we all have to get on board with this. But there's nothing about cutting costs that I could see clearly in the House bill whatsoever. So they do have to go back to the drawing board, and they being everybody who represents us, Republican or Democrat, if they want some kind of health care reform. With a little bit of a different twist on the same show, Pat Buchanan talked about how far Obama has swung to the left as it kind of relates to health care.
I tell you, the perception here in town and among an awful lot of people is that Barack Obama was elected to run sort of a centrist government. He said, bring us together government, and that he is governed from the left. He has one foot in the left. That is certainly the perception of the American people, Joe. Yeah. You know, this Sergeant Crowley thing was a killer. The Quinnipiac poll showed that by 54 to 27, white Americans who gave Obama more votes than they gave Kerry, that they thought he handled it stupidly. I think he's perceived as a man of the left now, and he was not 6 months ago.
All right, there's no doubt many people that call this show certainly echo that same sentiment, that what has happened, people that voted for Obama, people that didn't vote for him, people that said, just as Buchanan said, he's trying to be a little bit more moderate, a little bit more in the middle, a little bit more of a centrist, and obviously in looking at the first 200-plus days, it's really been anything but that. So coming up later in the show, we'll talk more about health care, including this little nugget that broke. I'm not necessarily surprised, but AARP in big trouble with a lot of seniors over what their stance is on this health care reform, because what's happening is a lot of seniors are burning up the phone lines, wanting to know, why are they taking this stance with health care reform? They're so enraged that they're tearing up membership cards, firing off nasty letters and emails, and all to the CEO of the AARP. And really, this is what we're talking about. A lot of older people are confused, upset, don't understand what's going to happen. And so the debate just got a little bit hotter. I mean, it's gotten a lot hotter. And AARP right in the thick of it. In fact, they just had a special forum in Dallas, and a lot of the people had to walk out, a lot of the officials that were there, to talk about other things, left because there were so many interruptions in the middle of the meeting, and they were all questions that were generated about what's going to happen, how does this affect my health care, that kind of thing. So what's happening is, not just at special meetings by the AARP, but other organizations, whenever there's a meeting, people are showing up to protest health care reform, even if the meeting has nothing to do with it. Coming up a little bit later, a recent poll by Fox News shows that seniors, many of whom are on Medicare, don't want an overhaul. What are those numbers? I'll tell you about it coming up in a few here tonight, but next we're going to talk about property taxes. Hang with us.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet, or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. August 10th, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $954.60. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $981.85, $490.93 for a half ounce, or $245.46 for the quarter ounce. That's $981.85, $490.93, or $245.46.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Stuck on that plane. Did you hear the story? If you haven't, that's coming up on ATN Round the Bend. Hey, everybody. Kate hanging out with you as per usual. What about those property taxes? I have a couple of friends. In fact, one of them has come on the show with us many times when there's been disasters in California or the Michael Jackson stuff, Annie Zadarovich. And she lives at a place called Westlake Village, and she's always complaining to me about what's going on with the taxes in California. And it's really strange. And we have many friends listening to us in the West Coast, and all of us struggle with the whole property tax thing in general, depending on how long you've been in a house, what the circumstances are, and of course, lately, what's happened because of the recession. Are you getting slammed a little bit more? So joining us on the air is Valerie Faltus. And she's an expert, a tax expert, certainly in this area. And especially when you're talking about something so convoluted, that I want to throw that lifeline out to our pals in Cali about Prop 13. Hey, Valerie, thanks for jumping on ATN.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, let's rewind this a little bit. We know what's going on with California and the current budget crisis and all that sort of stuff, but what's the deal? Explain what Prop 13 is, because there's some confusion over what it is.
There's a lot of confusion about Prop 13. Prop 13 is actually very simple. What it is, it was passed about 30 years ago, and it was a voter-initiated proposition. And it was passed essentially to cap property taxes because homeowners were being driven out of their homes because they were being reassessed every year. So what Prop 13 does is places a limit, and what it states is that there are only two triggers for reassessment in California. One is a change in ownership, and two is new construction. So normally when people purchase a property, it's a change in ownership, right? The property has changed hands, and consequently there's been a reassessment, and it's usually what they paid for the property as long as it was market value. So what happens is that value becomes their base value, and that's where everything is added to or taken away from. And essentially, that's what they pay property taxes on. So, for example, the average home in LA County was going for about $600,000 at the height of the market. And so with a tax base of $600,000, you're paying about 1.25% of that value. So that equates to about $7,000 a year. And so what happens is over time, that base will trend slightly every year, about 2%. But other than that, it pretty much stays the same. And so those same homes today are only worth about $350,000, maybe $400,000, depending on the area.
Right.
And so that loss in value of about $200,000 or maybe $250,000 equates to $2,500 or $3,000 a year in property taxes. So the biggest thing today is that a lot of homeowners are getting a temporary break called Prop 8, which is a decline in value. However, there is a way that Prop 13 actually offers a permanent reduction. It's just a matter of understanding how to reestablish a base value.
Oh, so jump in there. How do you do that? How do you take advantage of it?
It's actually really, really simple. And that's exactly what I talk about in Property Tax Little Black Book. And there's also a free ebook on my website that completely explains Prop 13 and how it actually works, and then goes into what Prop 8 is and kind of the disadvantages of it, and then gets into this permanent break. It's really simple, actually. It's just kind of fully understanding the way Prop 13 works. So understanding how, when it caps property taxes, how it can actually help you in a declining market, because everything is based on market value. So the great, great news for homeowners is that with the low market, they can actually utilize Prop 13 to their advantage. So instead of, you know, being stuck with the fact that they bought a home at the height of the market, it's actually a great thing, because now that the market's gone down, they could take advantage of those lower values and use Prop 13 to help them save, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 every single year they own their home.
You know what, too, Valerie, it's interesting, and you know certainly that you've done this for a long time, for however long in your career. You were with the Los Angeles County Assessor's Office, so you know what you're talking about. You assessed like 6,000 properties or more, so you learned about all this kind of stuff, and you're trying to share it. How many people really know about this? You know, there's smart people out there, but I'm just assuming there are a lot of people who have no clue.
Yeah, there actually aren't a lot of people that know about this. Quite honestly, what compelled me to write the Little Black Book is I was working for the LA County Assessor, and what I realized when I was working there, I was helping homeowners get this, apply for this temporary break. And because of the way it's set up, it's really, it doesn't help the homeowner out for a lot of reasons. And I realized, you know what, I actually know a better way. And it wasn't really kosher for me to disclose while I worked for the assessor. And so that's why I left the assessor, to make the information public, because I knew I could help homeowners in a much more substantial way by explaining to them how things work in the assessor's office, you know, what the flip side of it. You know, it seems like a very scary place, and often it's approached that way, and yet it's so simple. And I explain all of that also in Property Tax Little Black Book. And
yeah,
so
I talk about what
Prop 13 is in, you know, in place, in action, how it actually plays out in terms of your property taxes and how the assessor's office function and processes things.
Yeah.
So
now you could go back. You could go back. If you, for example, have been giving too much money, couldn't you go back and make this retroactive? Could you get a refund?
Yes, actually you can. It depends on the property. It's going to vary a little bit. And, of course, you know, always be careful of anything you do with your home. And, yes, you can. Based on the law and based on the way certain things are set up, you absolutely can.
How many people do you think in other states, and they don't have Prop 13, but there are other things that are going on in other states, and I would bet that it would probably be smart for anybody, I don't care if they're listening to us or listening to us in Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Minnesota, wherever, it probably would be smart to go down to the assessor's and figure out the whole value thing, wouldn't it? Because there might be something in it for them as well.
Exactly, exactly. And what I do is teach homeowners exactly what they're dealing with. So before you walk into the assessor screaming and yelling because they've, you know, screwed you out of how much money, which they're not really trying to do, believe it or not, they're really not trying to screw you. I basically teach the homeowner what they need to know in order to lower their property taxes. So understanding appraisal, which is very critical to their property tax value, and also understanding what goes on in the assessor and how you can help the assessor help you. Because they really do want to help. The problem is they're just inundated with work and overwhelmed and tired of being yelled at. So I basically teach the homeowner how to really kind of take ownership of their property taxes and based on their state laws and based on the way it's set up to basically hand the assessor what they need to lower their property taxes. So, yeah. And that's all explained in the Little Black Book.
How tough is it in California right now with, like I said, I have a friend that live in L.A. and I have a friend that lives in San Francisco.
Right.
And they both did well on previous homes, but now they're in these homes that, of course, have lost $300,000 in value or whatever. As somebody who's looked at this, how long do you think it takes, and just your opinion, for things to bounce back a little bit?
In terms of the market, the real estate market?
Yeah, in terms of the market, what you're seeing.
In my opinion, it's going to be a while. And I just because the bubble was so big when it burst, it will bounce back. It will come back, and it will come back higher and stronger than before. The market always, always does, if you look at the history of real estate. However, I think because of the extremity of the things that happened with the banks and those kinds of things, it's going to be some time. So, I mean, the good news about that is it's a great opportunity to save on property taxes. It's a great opportunity to get loans modified, you know, to do different things at the same time. My personal opinion is going to be some time.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much the case almost anywhere. And this would apply to so many people. Valerie had a great comment that you need to listen to. Don't go in guns blazing when you go into the assessor's office.
No, yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, I mean, I worked for the assessor. I had people slam doors in my face and scream and yell and treat me like I was the devil incarnate. You know, I was out to get them. And truthfully, I wasn't. I was just doing my job. And, you know, and it was really just a numbers game. I was there, you know, I had a job to do, and that's all I was doing. I had no personal incentive, you know, to raise their property taxes. And, of course, while I worked for the assessor, of course I wanted to help homeowners. You know, I've been a homeowner several times myself. And, you know, anyone who works for the assessor, anyone is always happy to help someone else out. However, it's a little intimidating to help someone who's screaming and yelling at you, you know, like you're out to get them. And so the first step is to understand, number one, they're really not out to get you. They would love to help you. It's just a matter of, you know, they don't really have the time to articulate and explain everything that goes into what they do. And obviously dealing with somebody who's very emotional about the process and not understanding it is difficult. So
yeah, absolutely. It's really about controlling your temper, just like we say at these town hall meetings. Same thing with the health care reform. Ask the questions before you get all uptight. Valerie, thanks so much. And again, the book is called The Property Tax Little Black Book. Go to www.propertytaxlittleblackbook.com. You can get a copy of that. Stick with us. We're going to talk about those town hall meetings next.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. The 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the ebook. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. And start changing your life today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now, 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
Senator Claire McCaskill, Democrat from Missouri, Senator Jack Reed, a Democrat from Rhode Island, and John McCain, Republican from Arizona, all agree that funding for new jets for Congress makes them kind of sick to their stomach. At least that's what Claire McCaskill said. And she's vowed to kill it, as did McCain and Reed, both of them saying, as they are senior members of the Armed Services Committee, that they are opposed to the plan. And here's what the plan is. We told you about it earlier in the week. The new congressional jets actually now might get scrapped because there's been such an uproar over this purchase of new executive jets, which would be used by government officials, members of Congress, top defense appropriators in the House, etc. And now they've offered to eliminate funding for the planes, but only if the Pentagon, which operates the jets, agrees to do it. John Murtha quickly put this problem on, Congressman Murtha, put this problem on the Pentagon for bungling what they propose. As he said, it proved by the full House last month they weren't additions to the current 24 aircraft, because that's what they have, that are already used. They were being actually bought to replace old ones that have maintenance and safety issues, but that's not the way it came out. So the Defense Department originally was requesting $220 million for four jets, but that got bumped to $550 and eight jets by the committee. And then once that was reported Everybody went crazy over, are you kidding me, to spend that kind of money when we're talking about the kind of deficit we're in, and if you could pinch a little here and pinch a little there, doesn't that make much more sense to do? And even Congressman Flake from Arizona, Jeff Flake, he's one of the reps anyway from Congress, who was a big critic of earmarks, offered 500 amendments to cut wasteful spending in the defense bill. But even in that, he had nothing to say about the planes when it was being debated on the House floor, but then voted against the defense bill on the final passage. So, see, this shows you the craziness of the legislation. They're not even sure, really, by the time they go through everything, what specifically the planes were that they were talking about. And in a nutshell, it's exactly what I said. Originally, it was $220 million for four. Then it gets bumped to $550 million, and then it's eight. And then it turns out there's already 24 jets, but geez, could we replace a few? So I'm going to say it's the daily salute that the congressional jets might be scrapped. They should be scrapped. I agree with Claire McCaskill on this one. Sorry. You're going to have to hitch a ride, economy style or first class or whatever. Or one of the old jets, you'll have to use it. You know, give me a break here with this. And, of course, it made big, big headlines. I talked about this earlier on America Tonight, and I want to jump back to this because I didn't give any specifics of this. But there is a war going on, well, not just Afghanistan and the Syria stuff, and not, of course, the war over health care that we're seeing unfold across the country. But there is a more simplistic war, one that affects many of us who are coffee drinkers, and it's McDonald's versus Starbucks. So how about this? It appears that McDonald's global sales are starting to really cut into Starbucks' sales of coffee. And just let me give you a couple of examples, and I'll tell you why. McDonald's decided to do those iced lattes, you know, lattes, when you've been going through the drive-thru, they're pushing them to you. And they've had their seventh consecutive month of increased sales globally. And their shares rose, of course, which is what the shareholders, stockholders, whatever, that's what they want to see. So what's happened as a result, you look at what's gone on with Starbucks, and they've had kind of the opposite thing happen with them with coffee. Because the emphasis so much has been on they've closed a bunch of stores, and they're trying to, I think, go back to the coffee brand, but they got away from it. So McDonald's was smart. They snuck in there. They offered this so-called premium regular coffee. They started with the latte stuff. I mean, and let's face it, if the coffee tastes better or the same, I don't know. You could argue that, okay, if you want to be one of those laptop people and go and sit at Starbucks. But other than that, doesn't it make sense, because you would save, even with the lattes, you would save a couple of bucks. So I don't think that I'm necessarily surprised by the fact that McDonald's global sales were huge, and a lot of it is because of the regular coffee and the lattes, and Starbucks just blew it because they're like Congress. They're all over the place. They can't decide, we're distributing music, we got into some movies, we're doing this gourmet thing. We're offering liquor in one of our Seattle stores. They got away from the basics. It's like McDonald's. They're offering all these other things on their menu. But ultimately, they still stick with the hamburger. It's about the hamburger, cheeseburger, quarter pounder, whatever. And then there is other things on the menu, but they're not getting away from burgers. Burgers and shakes, and fries. That's what McDonald's was founded on, and that was the mistake that Starbucks made. I love that comparison. Starbucks is like Congress all over the place. Matt, what do you think? Are you a coffee drinker? Have you tried any of the McDonald's coffees?
I've tried a couple of them. I actually haven't been drinking coffee lately. I think probably the last year I've cut down my coffee consumption greatly. I used to be in a former life when I was an office worker, I was a twice-a-day Starbucks guy. But since then, I don't really drink that much coffee anymore, and I have tried, I think, one of the McDonald's iced lattes before. They're all right, you know, and they're not too expensive, so that's pretty good. And I guess I can see how they're competing with the Starbucks, because it's about half the price.
Yeah, and so if you're trying to save money, and like you said, you would have been a prime example. If you were going to Starbucks when you worked in an office twice a day, that would add up.
Yeah, definitely, those dreaded office jobs. But it was more of an excuse to leave
the
office and get out of there.
Right, so that's where I think Starbucks has an edge there, because people want to go there. They want to get away or come up with some excuse to go be on the laptop and be unplugged. And they have that atmosphere, whereas McDonald's, it's more fast foody.
Yeah, you don't want
to
go
in, go out.
Especially during the day, you don't want to go over to the McDonald's around, you know, 11:30, 12, when there's a bunch of, you know, kids there with their parents and families and screaming and looking for the ball pit or whatever is going on.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll be curious to see if Starbucks pedals back and they focus a little bit more on the coffee. I mean, it seems like they're kind of confused on the issue, because they're throwing out a lot of nets in other directions. And I thought that Howard Schultz, who started Starbucks, that they were going to pull back in and it was going to be more about the coffee. But, man, they really let McDonald's take a slice of that pie. And McDonald's is smart. That's what they do. They catch you on the upside, and then they start to pull you down, and that's exactly what they've done. How about this story? I happened to stumble across this from something I read in Los Angeles, but did you know that Michael Jackson, they're going to do this Michael Jackson 3D film? It's Sony Pictures. And what it is it's a film from the footage of the singer rehearsing for his concert, the This Is It concert series that was supposed to happen in London. So it's a $60 million movie, which is going to be directed by Kenny Ortega. Is going to be released in October, the end of October, in the U.S. Who knows when it comes out overseas? But it's all the things that went into making, or what would have been, the final performance for Michael Jackson, all of those concerts in London. And there's so much footage, they decided, yeah, we're going to do something with this. Although it's not a nonprofit endeavor. They decided, they being the entertainment people, because they're going to make money off of it. So who knows how many people will go and see it, and they're going to strike while the iron is hot. So they're not fooling anyone with that. So while they're planning on it and trying to make it happen, there's a couple of loose ends in the Michael Jackson thing. One, the coroner's office said that they'd wrapped up their investigation and that the results are going to be sealed indefinitely while the criminal investigation by the LAPD continues to roll on. Now, what's happened is the detectives are trying to determine what medications might have pushed Jackson over the edge into death. And specifically, we all know this by now, Conrad Murray, who was the personal doctor of Jackson, told the cops that he was the one who gave him the anesthetic propofol with multiple sedatives before he died. And they've already looked into his whereabouts, not his whereabouts, but into his house, his properties in Vegas and Houston, and they grabbed computers and hard drives and correspondence and, you know, all that other stuff, because they're trying to consider the possibility it might have been a manslaughter. And they're looking at six other doctors for this, and we know this as well. So in the meantime, things keep on keeping on. Who rules the estate? What happens with this concert? What happens to the money that's raised in the interim with some of these things? Like, if this movie gets released in October, there would have to be permission, I'm assuming, for that too. It's interesting too, AEG, which is the company behind this, the proposed concert in London that was supposed to happen, they're hoping that they're going to do an event in memory of him, because remember, he was supposed to play 50 nights. Yeah, good luck with that. I don't know. The further away I think you get from the death, the less lore, but I think the 3D movie will really pull him out. Hang with us. A lot of things coming your way next, including birthdays.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette. And even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit PremiumeCigarette.com. That's premium, the letter E, cigarette.com. PremiumeCigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today. As you already know, drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. That's 269-216-9767 today.
Steve Wozniak is celebrating a birthday. Can you guess how old he is? Not the big 6-0, but just shy of it. That's a hint. There are some others from the world of music and actors I think you're going to recognize. I'm going to tell you on this list that I have that we're going to unfurl here in another 7 minutes or so. You're going to recognize, eight people. How's that? Eight people. Sometimes I get funny emails. We'll do emails on our next America's Net, but I get funny emails from you about who was that person you were talking about that was celebrating a birthday? I know. Sometimes they're obscure. As much as I try to weed them out, I'm so sure that somebody listening will actually know who I'm talking about. Let's jump to news you can abuse. We go to Sydney, Australia. The Australian government is actually considering a proposal to allow marksmen and helicopters to hunt down and kill thousands of camels in the remote outback. Here's the deal. They want to cut down the population because the camels who were first introduced into Australia in the 1840s to help explorers through the desert, it was fine. But now there's about a million and they're roaming the country and the population is doubling every 9 years. So you've got camels competing with other populations of sheep and cattle for food. They trample the vegetables and all kinds of remote settlements trying to look for water. They scare people. They tear apart bathrooms, rip up water pipes. So the camels aren't real great. So they're going to hunt them down with high-powered rifles from helicopters. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? There is a woman who's in politics. Of course, we're talking about a moose then. We go to Albany, Oregon. Despite approval from lawmakers this past session, growing hemp industrially in Oregon may not be a reality. Check this out. The local paper is reporting that Oregon's climate might not be suitable for growing hemp. That's a crop that was outlawed in the 30s, along with the relative of a hemp, and that's marijuana. Oregon's just one of a handful of states to give farmers the option of growing it. The law that was passed by the legislature takes effect this January. How about that? Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, of course, he can't stand to be out of the limelight, launched a new website, Hyperlink. Yeah. It's governorrod.com is the name of the website. I mean, it's the name of the address where you can go for the website, right? www.ofcourse.com. Blagojevich's publicist, Glenn Seelig, says the site offers a way for him to react and connect with his fans and supporters. Oh, and I'm sure there are so, so many of them that it's absolutely unbelievable, right? We have a couple of other things to get to, I think, of interest when it comes to weird, crazy news. There's always so much of it. This one kind of caught my eye out of Beijing. A Chinese bride wants to enter the record books. Here we go again with that Guinness desire. I've got to get in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's not about my wedding anymore. After getting married in a wedding dress with a train more than 1.2 miles long that was trailing behind her. I don't get the lore in that. I want to have a train that everybody can trip on, including myself, but by golly, I'll get into the record books with it. So it took guests more than 3 hours to roll out the gown, and it was complete with 9,999 silk red roses attached to it. So the length of the dress and the number of the silk roses pinned on the wedding dress might make history. The bride, Zhao Ping, applied to the Guinness World Records book and said she was inspired after seeing a story on the previous record holder in Romania where the dress measured just about a mile. So the idea was to beat that. Mm. So how much do you think this dress costs? I was actually surprised, to be honest. The dress cost almost $6,000. Almost $6,000. I actually thought with the kind of train they were talking about, there would be a chance it would be even more than that. Still, $6,000, not cheap for a dress, eh? You think of how people are trying to do weddings and do them on the cheap because they want to save money for things like a house or other things they're concerned about as a couple moving forward. But I guess that wasn't the case. It's more about the record books. Let's turn to this one. This was interesting. The Guantanamo prisoners, remember the four that were released and they went to Bermuda in June? They got jobs, yeah. They've gotten jobs tending a public golf course. Four members of the detainees, we'll call them, the Chinese Muslims that were being held, they started working last week, and they're working at the Port Royal course. It's going to host the PGA Grand Slam in October. So the hiring, I would think, would have bothered somebody. Somebody in the British territory might have raised an eyebrow or two, because employers can only take on foreigners if no qualified local wants the job. Apparently, they replaced a group of Filipino workers who left on short notice, and nobody else wanted the job. Yeah, I mean, already they're employed, they're living in Bermuda, not a bad gig for them, huh? Let's move on to this day in history, one of my favorite segments that we do on the show, and then we'll jump to birthdays. There are 142 days left in the year, man. Time flies. August 11th, couple of things. In 1909, the first recorded use of the SOS distress signal in North America was by the steamship SS Arapaho, which had broken down just off of North Carolina's Cape Hatteras. Also, in 1934, the premature. In 1934, the first federal prisoners arrived at the island prison Alcatraz in San Francisco's Bay. We were talking about that yesterday. I was mentioning that that was coming up. Also, in 1949, President Harry Truman nominated General Omar Bradley to become the first chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. A lot of people liked Bradley, and he certainly was a war hero. In 1956, abstract painter Jason Pollock died in a horrible automobile accident on Long Island. He was just 44. You can see a lot of his work, for example, at the MoMA in New York City. In 1962, the Soviet Union launched a cosmonaut on a 94-hour flight that was extremely successful. In 1965, sadly, rioting and looting claimed 34 lives. It broke out in the Watts section of Los Angeles. In 1984, remember who was president? Ronald Reagan joked during a voice test for a paid political radio address that he had signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes. Actually, it's so funny to hear that, you know, clips of that. But it was not true, of course. In 1992, this one's for you, Matt Johnson, the technical director of America Tonight, the Mall of America opened in Bloomington, Minnesota. And I think a lot of people thought that bigger malls were going to be spawned as a result of that. And there are some big malls, but I don't think that they can really compete with the Mall of America. It is time for birthdays. Maestro, cue it up.
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, so I already mentioned Steve Wozniak, who's a computer scientist, brilliant Apple co-founder, 59 years old. Wrestler, actor Hulk Hogan, 56 years old. Singer Joe Jackson, 55 years old. Viola Davis is 44. She's popped up in a bunch of movies lately. Also celebrating a birthday, actress Ashley Jensen is 41. Rock guitarist Charlie Sexton is 41 as well. On the other end of things, as we kind of jump around, songwriter-producer Kenny Gamble is 66. From the Guess Who, rocker Jim Cale, 66 years old. Country crooner John Conley is 63. Eric Carmen, who's a singer, is 60 years old. Did I tell you about wrestler actor Hulk Hogan turning 56? 56 years old for Hulk Hogan. Football player Andy Lee is 27. Actress Allison Stoner is 16 years old. Just a babe. She has a long way to go. Actor Miguel Nunez Jr., 45 years old. Actor host Joe Rogan, remember him from News Radio? Matt and I both watched News Radio. 42 years old. Actually a pretty good guy as a host, too. The whole Fear Factor thing, you know, that was Joe's bag. I thought he was pretty good at that. Gonna leave you with this thought. A pessimist is a man who looks both ways when he's crossing a one-way street.
How do you know him?
Fame, fortune, fast women.
Yeah. How about a beard?
Even better.
It's ravishing. It truly is Beauty and the Beast. I might add a handsome beast at that.